Welcome into another edition of Locked On Bills. I'm your host, Kevin Misery, here with Jason Shannon, getting at you for live breaking news. Jason, how you doing today?
I'm good, Kevin. How you doing?
Good, man. A good time to podcast with a little bit of news coming out, as much as we can hope for and expect in February. Between Avante Davis' visit and a Tyrod Taylor contract news, we got a little bit of a content here today, don't we?
Yeah, pretty surprising for February 22nd, but you never know when new stuff in the NFL is going to break.
Yeah, and let's get into it with Avante Davis. Ex-Colt kind of mistreated there a little bit, faced an injury last year, was limited in his game time action, was cut to get healthy, and now he went on a tour with 49ers, Raiders, Bills, Browns. And would you like this addition? Say, it does look like he's going to make his decision here in the next week or two. It just reminds me of like a Trey Boston type of situation last year. How do you feel about the player first and foremost?
Yeah, I think he could still have it. Obviously, last year had his season cut short by injuries. But, I mean, if you look over his career, he's a pretty consistent guy. He can get you 3 or 4 interceptions a year. He's had years where he was elite in coverage. But not always the most consistent player on and off the field in terms of, his relationship clearly soured in Miami, and it looks like maybe that was the case again in Indianapolis this year. But I think he's a good player. I think he is probably fighting for a decent contract this year to prove himself and maybe get one more like pretty decent, 3-4 year deal after that. Right now he's 29 years old, so he doesn't have that much time to do it. But if he stays together physically, there are plenty of corners in the league, and it's very unexpected because you consider the athleticism it takes to play the position, but there's plenty of guys to play through their mid to late 30s. So if he stays healthy, he might be trying to be one of those guys. And for past production, I think that it's still very much on the table for the right price.
Yeah, it's interesting because in 2012, he was traded to the Colts for a second round pick. And they were, he was on a pretty small deal at that point in 2012 and did sign a 4-year, $39 million deal in 2014 after being one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL in 2014. So, it's pretty nuts. I mean, he's had a pretty good career. He was okay and pretty solid in Miami to be traded for a second round pick after 3 seasons on a rookie deal. Miami got pretty good value for him there, leading him into his Colts career, in which he, for most of it, minus 2017, really was a solid guy that you looked at the Colts and said he's probably one of their only quality defenders through most of those terrible defense years, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, in his time in Indianapolis, had, 2 4 interception seasons, a 3 interception season. So he definitely put up the numbers for them. But again, you look at his first 3 years in Miami, had 9 interceptions, and they still felt like, we can dish this guy, and that's what they did.
Yeah, they did. And basically, so just real quickly, as if you're wondering the way that played out, he faced a groin injury, in week 4. He started, a few games. He left his week 9 game, because he was sent home actually in week 9 for more groin injuries, and then he was caught, the next day after he elected to have his own surgery. So that's kind of the story there. So it's probably one of those similar to maybe what the Bills are going through a little bit with Eric Wood. Just seems like kind of a disagreement over the severity and the type of injury, right?
Yeah, that's always going to be a problem. Which doctor, whether the player's doctor, the team doctor, who clears what. And we're talking about the severity there. And sometimes it gets pretty nasty when it comes, when it makes the difference between, whether a contract should be avoided or exist, or whether they should get on the field or whatnot. Sometimes things get very contentious, and it definitely seems like maybe that's the way that this thing ended.
And it seems reverse, where kind of the player wanted to play, I think is how I interpret this. The team said, no, you're hurt. You got to go home in week 9.
Yeah. They were trying to get out of it.
Yeah. And they were trying to get out of it.
He's just trying to play his way on and prove that, that he can continue to play at a certain level. But I'm sure after that whole ordeal, he's probably okay with getting the chance and being cut loose, even if there were some bad feelings at the end. I think he probably wants a new start with this.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that he definitely does. 22 career interceptions, 97 career passes defensed. He's a guy that is very good in coverage when he's healthy and playing good. So leads me to, you know, kind of the final segment on him. What do you think he signs? A 1 year, $4 million deal, a 2 year, eight, 1 year, $2 million? I mean, what do you think that a guy coming off an injury? I'll preface it by saying, I feel that if one of the four teams was really in a strong offer, he would have taken it. So if someone offered him two for 12, I mean, I just think that that would have been a no brainer and he wouldn't be thinking about it over half the offer. So what's kind of your opinion on that side of it?
Yeah, it definitely seems like of the four teams you visited, the Bills, the Browns, the Raiders, and the 49ers, nobody blew him away with it because he would probably be there. There wouldn't be the go home and reflect period of this whole thing. So I don't know. I'm feeling a one-year deal with him. I think he's going to try to make a bet on himself. And even if he were to sign like a 2 for 7 or whatever, he might be thinking, I can go get 3 for, you know, more after this year of proving myself. So I think he might be looking for the 1 year deal. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, like the 1 year deals that Zach Brown's been signing, or if it's going to be just a small contract just to get on a team.
Right.
But
those 1 year deals usually are those Zach Brown style though. Right. I mean,
yeah,
they're usually, I rarely see more than 1 for 5 ever.
Yeah. No, I think that it'll probably be under that. And I think he's going to just try to make the bet on himself, unless this injury thing is a real problem. But I don't think he would be shopping himself around right now if he didn't feel like he was fully healthy in that respect.
Right. So it's interesting to see what, you know, where he'll go. I think the Bills do have the best quality defense out of the four choices. He'd be paired with Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, one, a very strong duo. He could come in and be a really good piece of that, kind of like Richie Incognito did. I think that it's a really good position to slide into a defensive back friendly system, defensive back style coach and coaching staff. One that a really good unit, like, wouldn't that be almost a really good match rather than maybe a couple of those other teams might have a more talented offense, specifically the Raiders?
I think that if his goal is to just play on the best defense that might make him look good, it's going to be it's going to be tough to beat the Bills as far as that goes, because I would say that all four of the sort of starting members of the defensive backfield, and even if you want to add in Leonard Johnson too, all of them performed over their sort of perceived value last season. You know, Trey White's was probably decently high as a first round pick, but to come out as the PFF number 2 cornerback, or EJ Gaines, who came off of, you know, injuries and a bad season, he's got to see that and say, maybe this is a scheme that, helps players rather than hurts them. You know, because if you look at this system compared to the islands that a Rex Ryan system would put you out on, if you're trying to go make money for next year, you definitely want to look at a scheme and say, is this going to be helping me or hurting me?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that the Bills do present a challenge to him in terms of saying, hey, come play here. Look at what EJ Gaines is going to do. So, you know, not necessarily a challenge, but almost like an opportunity, a challenge in himself, I should say, where a 1 year deal, challenge yourself, get a deal from that. I mean, we'll see what EJ Gaines does. And I think the Bills could sell that. Another good point I did read and was thinking about was EJ Gaines. We did this before when Richie Incognito was kind of a free agent. We brought in a couple of free agent guards, and kind of said, hey, we're going to move on if you're not going to be willing to resign the deal we gave you. So they could be doing a little bit of that with Johnson and Gaines, either or both, saying, you know, we'll bring in Vontae Davis to start day one if you guys aren't interested. So I do think that there's a little bit of pressure there. And I still, based on if Vontae picks us, I still don't think that takes us out of the equation to keep, definitely not keep, you know, they definitely would still try to keep Johnson, but I think there's a chance that they could even keep Gaines and roll with those three. That'd be a pretty solid 5 D-back combination, right?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not sure that they'll do that. I'm still on the end that I think Gaines might be getting more money than people expect him to. But, and I also think that they thought that EJ Gaines was sort of just a throw-in last year. They obviously liked his game. They asked for him, but I don't think that they necessarily had long-term plans with him. And I think that whether it's through the draft or through free agency, sort of lower scale free agency, that they think that they'll be able to do it again. And I don't know where Vontae Davis comes in with those plans, but I think they thought it's not going to hurt us to kick tires with a guy not during the free agency period. So they're not wasting time on a guy. They're really just doing their draft scouting. So for them to just say, yeah, we'll, have dinner with him. We'll go have a chat with him. He could help our team. Let's see what he's worth. I don't think that says a lot about their major plans with EJ Gaines. I just think that they saw an opportunity and they said, why not?
And don't forget Joe Shane, the team's assistant general manager, did draft him in Miami. So just a note, personnel guy there. There is a Lincoln. So if there was super bad blood, I think that
was he part of the people that traded him?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know the exact
timeline of it. I know he was
because traded. At that point he was director of scouting, so okay. I doubt he would have had any say in the player personnel. Now he's player personnel, and assistant general manager. But then he was scouting manager. So no, I would say he'd have once the team drafted him, he would have had limited say into what his contract situation is or any of that kind of
stuff. I didn't see him in the room on Hard Knocks, so
that's true. He was only the director of scouting at that point. He did get elevated to director of player personnel in Miami, but that wasn't until after that trade happened. So just a little bit of knowledge about a little bit of a link there that I think it could matter a little bit. Just briefly, EJ Gaines is the third ranked cornerback on Roto World. It's pretty usually reliable place. That's a really good ranking system for me to kind of, as you see the deals come in, you can see them slotted. So Gaines is right behind Malcolm Butler and ahead of Kyle Fuller and Aaron Colvin and Prince Amukamara, and right behind Tremaine Johnson and Malcolm Butler. So like Jason said, he might be in higher than $6 million range. Over the Cap tweeted out a couple of days ago saying they expected Gaines to sign for about $6 million was their projected. Based on what we're saying, we think it could be more than that. So if it's six, though, that's where I would really love to play with Gaines and Vontae Davis, because I thought if, say, 6 and 4, that 10, I thought that's what Gaines would get alone. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for, is that Gaines is a $6 million player. Vontae Davis is actually sixth rated, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, seventh rated cornerback in this list, right behind Prince Amukamara and ahead of Rashad Breeland, Morris Claiborne, and Rashawn Melvin, who actually had a really good year. So Vontae Davis is still coming off that injury by Roto World, is ranked as the seventh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seventh ranked cornerback. So he is still pretty highly touted, right?
Yeah. And I didn't look at that list, but I heard you read it off. And I would definitely say probably the first five or six guys of that list. Maybe five are guys that are going to get real, you know, not crazy deals, but actual years and money. And then after that, we're talking about reserves, 1 years, the older guys, that sort of deal. But I think
Aaron Colvin, too, 26. He had a monster year in Jacksonville. He's going to get
I didn't see the whole list, but I'm sure there's guys scattered in there as well that are going to.
Yeah,
especially the guys who came off with, you know, at 26 years old.
Hasn't Amukamara been signing those 1 year six deals?
Yeah, he must be sick of those by now. Actually, when we did did the preview with Nate for the corners, I said I think this year is the year that Amukamara might get a decent deal finally, instead of just string along 1 year deals.
And we talked about this on the show, and just because we are playing in it. I mean, between having one of them in Gaines and visiting with Vontae Davis, I mean, there's two of the top seven ranked corners. I don't think that they're done at this position if Gaines walks and they don't get Davis. I like a couple of these names. I like Aaron Colvin a lot. I think he plays really solid football. I always have liked Breeland a little bit. Morris Claiborne can have good. Rashawn Melvin played awesome. This list isn't terrible.
Yeah, no, I thought it was an okay list. I mean, as soon as you get further down than that, that's good. It was really just, you're just weighing between what to give these huge, who to give these huge deals to. The problem is that we haven't seen the Bills give a huge deal to anybody yet, right? So it's like,
not this management, but they got to be start picking their guys.
And so I think they're going to do it eventually, but it's just hard to tell what they value, because you wonder with McDermott, you say, well, he really likes his secondary. He's a defensive guy. But at the same time, they put zero investment in it besides the first round pick and Trey White. So you don't know whether they like rookies, whether they want to just keep going on these Leonard Johnsons and Sharice Wrights, or what they want to do and how they want to address it. But it seems like if you just go off of what they've done so far, I don't think that a big money, big year deal is in the books for them.
No, and what's funny, though, is all these guys are under, except Davis, all these guys are under 28. I mean, Tremaine Johnson's 28, Malcolm Butler's 28, Gaines is 26, Fuller's 26, Aaron Colvin's 26. You know, they have Ross Cockrell's 26 on this list. TJ Carey, who's one of the top slot corners in the league, one of Oakland's better playing players on defense.
Yeah, he was their best cornerback last year.
I mean, this list is good. I you know, it's not have every single name ever, but it's as good as to me I've seen at this position in a bunch of years.
No free agent list is, and really no other position is amazing. You resign guys that, you know, right. It's hard to get these guys to come out to free agency.
But as of right now, prior to re-signings, it's a pretty solid list that you're able to maybe get a guy in the second tier between Breland Davis, Morris Claiborne, or Sean Melvin, TJ Carey, you know, Nevin.
Well, yeah, and if you moved last year's, like, you know, if you melded together last year's list with this year's list, where would you put Leonard Johnson on this list for where he was, or Sharice Wright? Like, you put them way down this list.
Yeah. And then actually, believe it or not, they're both on this list. Sharice Wright is right on this list. And Leonard Johnson is, I mean, behind even Jonathan Joseph, Nevin Lawson, Brian Maxwell, Nicole Coleman.
I did totally forget that they are both actually on that list.
Right. So what's funny is there are Leonard Johnson players. Sure. I mean, Leonard Johnson himself is on this list. Yeah. Nicole Roby Coleman. And, you know, there's Deshaun Shad. Those type of guys, those guys are always exist on these lists. But what's impressive is above those guys, I think it's a pretty good slot of guys from TJ Carey on up. I mean, there's a starting number two cornerbacks all throughout this free agency period. And if they're willing to pay gain 6 or 7, and maybe they don't get them, and they're willing to pay Vontae Davis 4 or 5, I think that they'll play in this list.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to be able to lose gains and, you know, whoever else, and not be able to retool it. And I think that a cornerback's more likely than a lot of people that I've seen. I see the Twitter comments where people are like, "Oh, we don't need another cornerback."
No, it's like, smart right now.
We're going to have to. And I actually feel really encouraged about this. I'm glad that we do, you know, the rookie rankings as well, because what I saw when I did that is a really solid group of rookie cornerbacks that not necessarily all of them are going to go in the first round. In fact, I think only one or two, you know, maybe three of them are.
And I think it's going to be funny when he goes to the Bills in the first round too.
Right. And it could be. And there's, you know, four guys I would actually be pretty glad that we took if we stayed at 21 or 22. But there's also a lot of guys on the day two, and even some of the guys that we talked about are going to be there in the fourth round, you know. So I think that it's a good group that you could find, you know, even an outside corner to play for this team. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in the first round just based on where some of the talent lines up with quarterbacks and some running backs, maybe taking some of the places that you would normally see corners.
Yeah. And could you imagine though, the Bills with two first round cornerbacks that are, you know, really solid players? I mean, I think that would be a huge luxury to have two guys in rookie deals.
And the way that they've spent their money, like, I think they would be drooling at the fact that they could have another guy on a rookie deal. A guy coming out, you know, if they take somebody at 21, that probably, you know, there's three or four guys that probably have more talent. I like Mike Hughes. I don't think he's the Bills guy. They're going to have to figure out his off position. The field stuff.
Yeah, and his position too.
Right, because it's not necessarily that he's a slam dunk as an outside cornerback. I think he's really talented, but I think getting kicked out of North Carolina and really having only one season of college play is, you know, he's going to have to answer questions for that.
Yeah, and check out that. So, you know, we'll end the segment. Check out that cornerback edition that we had, both the roster breakdown, we get into this some more, and then the draft show where we talk about guys like Mike Hughes and others with our top 7 prospects of the cornerback class, which could be really relevant, especially if Vontae Davis selects elsewhere.
I still think that everything that I said about the rookie cornerback class that we said about it pretty much holds up at this point. I know my opinions really hasn't changed on any of them. We'll see when the combine comes, but I do think that that's a episode of the pod that still holds up.
Who's your favorite corner right now? Just favorite corner real quick.
Josh Jackson's my favorite cornerback still.
I mean, he's probably top 20, so we probably just miss out on him.
Yeah.
As a player, but check out that edition. Great. Some great, good stuff on that one. And we talk about all these guys from Josh Jackson on down. I think it's a really relevant position. I would not be shocked definitely to see a top 56 pick there. Going into the next news of the day, and that is Tyrod Taylor. The Bills are not going to just cut Tyrod Taylor. They're going to pick up that $6 million option and basically give themselves a dead cap between 7 if he's traded and 8.6 if he's released. So interesting news, right?
Yeah. I guess it's what I expected. I found it really difficult to think that, like, from the perspective I'm coming from right now, is that we're drafting a quarterback. I think our plan is to trade up, but I don't know. Maybe we sit back. Maybe, but I think somewhere near the top of the draft in the first round, we're going to be drafting a quarterback. While we do that, I would love to have a veteran quarterback on the roster, and I just didn't believe that spending money on a premium free agent quarterback made a lot of sense, whether it was a Case Keenum or trading for one like a Nick Foles or dealing with Sam Bradford's knees. I think that the best way from a team perspective, ignoring the fans in the Twitter comments, is keeping this guy on the team and having a drafted player and having a guy that quarterbacked our team to the playoffs last year that knows the team, is well liked and respected by the team, and can help this new player along. We don't have to throw him into the fire right away, and we're already on the hook for part of his money. Why rush it?
Get the insurance policy out for sure,
right? And why force another guy who's not a starting level player? I have no confidence whatsoever that an AJ McCarron or a Nick Foles is any better than Tyrod Taylor. I don't.
Yeah, and I don't think you're alone with that sentiment. I think people are just willing to do whatever it takes to move on to the next guy just because they know what they think they know what they're getting in Tyrod as a 9-7 quarterback. That's seems to be what people think are his ceiling. Like what happened with Nick Foles, he had a couple of up and down years with the right system. He was really good with the right system. Tyrod Taylor was really good, even better than we saw with Dennison this year, which Dennison just did not adapt, hence him getting let go. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Jay Cutler, Josh McCown, AJ McCarron, really Matt Moore, Blaine Gabbert, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, I don't know where you want this list to go. Even Teddy Bridgewater. Do you know that Teddy Bridgewater is better than Tyrod Taylor?
No, he hasn't played in 2 years. Right. We don't know what he looks like coming off an injury. But like, even at the point that he got hurt, I'm not sure he showed like that minute that he was better than Tyrod Taylor. Right. He has like a lot of the same inefficiencies that Tyrod Taylor has.
And don't even sit here and tell me Case Keenum. I don't even want to hear it. He had a really good year, but I don't know.
If we've shown anything in this year of quarterbacks, it's that the system matters so much, and just the team's willingness to buy into adapting to their strengths. And I'm not sure there was a team that was worse at it last year than the Bills.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm the best about it. Right.
And the Vikings were one of the best, getting great quarterback play. And they have, from their coaching staff, they've been one of the best. And they go out and sign, they lose their offensive coordinator, obviously. And then they go out and sign DeFilippo to be their offensive coordinator. I mean, I cannot believe that he was in weird fashion because of, the things that happened, was able to sign as their offensive coordinator in Minnesota from the Eagles. So I think that they adjusted and they produced three quarterbacks from it. I don't think that that's a coincidence.
No, and like in seeing the difference in the Rams between having three starting quarterbacks on their team that all stunk to all of those guys going off with Sean McVay
and
et cetera, and going and getting jobs and becoming basically starting quarterbacks. There's, you look at the career of Nick Foles. Like, I generally think that a random bad year is going to be because of the system rather than and he's had up years and he's had down years, and it's like, it's your willingness to sort of accept Nick Foles' faults and play to his strengths. He's had a 27 touchdown, 2-interception year, and he's had years where he went, 1-8 with the Chiefs or whatever it was.
Those guys we just listed off is your free agent list with Drew Brees, who will probably resign with the Saints.
Yeah.
And then Kirk Cousins, Kirk Cousins is good. You're going to pay him $30 million, though. I don't love him myself, but I guess, why people like him so much.
He's a starting quarterback.
Go pay him 30. I mean, whatever. Yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo just got signed for five for 30 for 137.5. So, with that being said, you have Kirk Cousins. Once again, Drew Brees isn't going to be there. But outside of that, are you sure that you need a veteran guy? As Nick Foles proved to you in the Eagles, are you sure that we just went over it? Teddy Bridgewater, Case Keenum, Sam Bradford, AJ McCarron. I mean, why not keep the guy who knows your system, Brian Daboll's, in there implementing his offense? Maybe I think everybody that comes into the Bills and sees Tyrod Taylor says, you know what, this guy's got such unique talent. I'd love to work with him. And I think that's what you're seeing again with Daboll. And what's really funny is Tyrod Taylor just 2 hours ago tweeted in love with the process with the video. of himself and all of his best plays and loving to play in Buffalo. So he's been told something.
Well, he just made a roster bonus too. So
he's been told something. He just got a $6 million process.
If I got $6 million today, I'd make like multiple tweets about it. So
yeah. And he'd probably make a process video, right?
Right. Oh, every step of the process.
And it's a great video. So I retweeted that. Go check that out. Tyrod Taylor says, "I'm in love with the process," video by Jay Spinks. So Jay Spinks made, it looks like he paid for a video from a production company, with a $6 million roster bonus. And it doesn't matter if he's not on the Bills, he's getting that roster bonus at this point. That's pretty for sure. So,
yeah.
So good for him. I think he deserves it. I think he's an $18 million quarterback. I think he's the 15th best quarterback in the NFL. And that's probably what he should be getting paid, is he's played for like 4 to 10 for way too long. So, good for him. I'd love to see him as the Bills, you know, kind of in a Nick Foles role, willing to step in and start, maybe start the beginning of the year, maybe play a Case Keenum role next year with a different offensive coordinator. I think there's so many opportunities, and that's what the Bills are saying. He's like, you know what? We need a veteran quarterback. He's worth the second, third, or fourth round pick to us. We're not going to just cut him.
Yeah, no, and you don't pay another guy unless you know that he's in the top 14 quarterbacks. Because it's been proven that, like, just everybody after that, you know, except for the really bad guys, are just, like, pretty interchangeable based on the system. You can win with certain guys, and then they look, you know, like crap in other systems. And there's really, you know, I'm not even sure that Kirk Cousins is in the pay a ton of money range.
No.
You know, it's...
For the 11th best quarterback, where would you put him? Ninth? Ninth to 12th?
I wouldn't put him in the top 10.
Okay.
Yeah, so we can start talking, you know, 11 to 14, but you...
So man, that's one enough, better than Tyrod, really.
Yeah, no, I think he's in the tier above Tyrod. But, you know, I don't think we're going to get him. But I think that anybody else that you're talking about is, you know, either in his tier or lower. I don't really have any reason to think that any of these other guys are in the tier with Cousins or your next sort of tier of guys.
Yeah, I agree.
And which I think means don't pay him like that.
And you saw what you can do if Peterman's your backup. So, I mean, you know, push Peterman to third. Put Tyrod as 1B, 1A, depending on what happens here, and draft your guy and not need to worry about the veteran or the quarterback position outside of the draft at all, right? I mean, that just seems like the best solution. You have him in on a one-year deal. You know, you're going to pick up his options. You're already on the hook for at least $7 million based on a trade. You're already on the hook for that. So if you need to keep him, you have the option to keep him on a one-year deal.
Yeah, and I think that they certainly showed today that they're not – that I don't think that they would be –
they're not cutting
him. You know, yeah, they're not cutting him, and I don't think they'd be adverse to starting him next year. I think that's the signal that they send, is that we just made the playoffs. Let's run this back. Like, not, I think they recognize that a long-term solution is probably necessary, and even as myself, who's probably on the higher side of – Tyrod fandom in terms of just being realistic about it and what he is. I recognize that we needed that long-term guy too. So do I, and
I'm on that side as well. So
yeah.
It just, like you said, some of the hardest things about Tyrod Taylor is just, you know, the fan complaints. And then sometimes that's just tough. I mean, I've spoke, you know, here on Locked On, we have many different great podcasts here on the network, and I speak with many people, and, you know, so will you this year at points, and you'll hear them say, like, I don't know why you guys think he's any worse than like the 16th best quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's solid. He makes mistakes. He's not perfect. He doesn't make good throws. He's not anticipatory. There's some issues, but he's the 15th best quarterback. And I don't know how much worse he is than Joe Flacco.
I think he's better than Joe Flacco.
Sure.
I'm going to be honest. I think he's a better quarterback than him. Joe Flacco's pretty bad.
Right. And then Kirk Cousins. Like, how much better or worse is he than Kirk Cousins? How much better or worse is he than Andy Dalton? How much better or worse than he is, you know, really anyone in the AFC, right? I mean, once Tom Brady's there, and, you know, you got a couple names, but.
No, I mean, you looked at
you saw him
the guys competing for the playoffs. I mean, we have Bortles. You know, you saw Andy Dalton,
who's around a little bit. I mean,
went to three playoffs, right? It's up and down. It's depending on the schemes. It's depending on the players you have around you. We haven't even gotten to the fact that he has an offensive coordinator who's different every year. He's had among the worst groups of receivers the last two seasons.
The worst group of receivers last year, and then
because of
2 years
injuries,
ago, terrible group of receivers.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was even worse 2 years ago when they were down to Marquise Goodwin and, you know, whoever else was the starters.
Justin Hunter
and the Walt Powell. Like, that was a group we brought into several games that year. You know, Clay I'll injuries. Give
the Bills credit them for trying last year, trading a third round pick in the middle of the season for a number one receiver is trying.
He happened
to get torpedoed in his knee than this, you know, first real game playing. I mean, what kind of luck is that? And played on one knee all the rest of the year. But as a year of help with Tyrod and Calvin is going to be a huge benefit. You have a number one receiver in that. You have Zay Jones, who was, you know, now hurt and, you know, could really develop into at least a slot receiver. You have Jordan Matthews, who went out. And, I mean, you really did try to do a 1-2-3 system there. To the best of your ability. And, you know, you had some heartache there, but, and so did they 2 years ago when they had Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods, and, you know, it's kind of a little bit of unluck there too. So, but that doesn't help Tyrod that it's unlucky. I mean, the groups that were coming out of the tunnel weren't very good.
Yeah, no, it was definitely injuries that
the team had
made it so much more difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, when you have games where you look up and, you know, Walt Powell or Brandon Tate's your number one receiver, or last year games where Deontay Thompson had to, you know, go and be a number one receiver for a game. It's rough.
And Deontay's probably played as better than any one of these guys that we've mentioned. And that's what to me makes it funny is that the Bills actually at full strength, everyone's healthy at their potential. I mean, is a pretty decent receiving core. So, and we'll see what they do to that position group this year to help Tyrod and you know, Charles Clay always seems to have a little nagging something, but he's good when he's full strength. He's a very good receiving tight end. He's up and down in blocking. 2 years ago, he was really good. Last year, he was not very good. So, you know, he does have a weapon at tight end and one that Bills are on the hook for, you know, $9 million, and there's no way out of his current contract for Charles Clay. So he is going to be your starting tight end for another couple seasons. Bearing someone trading like a first round pick for him, which isn't going to happen. So you have those assets, you have those weapons there for him. You have Kelvin Benjamin, who you did go out and move one of those third round picks for, you know, your own third round pick, so 85th overall pick. And to me, I still think that he's better than any receiver you would have gotten at pick 85.
Probably. I mean, it just comes down to whether he's worth keeping long term. Right now, he's on, you know, the last year of a deal at $8.5 million, and I think we see him
long term, personally.
If we sign him long term, yeah, that's worth a third round pick to get, you know, a season and a quarter out of him, depending on what the season is. That's where it becomes maybe shaky. But in terms of talent to talent, yeah, it's going to become incredibly hard to find.
Right. Yeah. Depending on the year, could even, if it's a good year, it's still worth an 80 pick 85.
Right.
But if it's not, if it's an average year, then yeah, definitely it was.
It's an average receiver year. And you just have to look at it like we have we got an established player out of it. And in any given season, you know, there's 30 good NFL players in a draft. So,
and you know, kind of the last bit of news too, we wanted to get to here before we wrap this show up is Preston Brown, you know, basically saying he wanted to stay in Buffalo, another free agent here. Solidly slow, but good Bills week in terms of just free agent news. You know, nothing else is really happening. So him saying he wanted to stay, I think it's possible that he could be your Bills middle linebacker next year.
Yeah, I'm starting to get in favor of it. He really wasn't that bad last year.
Leading tackler.
He was a leading tackler in the league. I think sometimes, you know, being a middle linebacker, you get some run defense, you know, problems and inefficiency thrown on you. Maybe, you know, a little unnecessarily, especially because, you know, next to him, he had this Lorenzo Alexander spot who's not, you know, playing way out of position, kind of. You know, and then, you know, Humber, you know, you had a rookie in Milano who ended up playing well, but sort of had to be thrust into there. And you had a defensive tackle group that was for like a lot of the year about the worst in the league in terms of, you know, Cedric Thornton and Adolphus Washington just not being good. You know, Kyle Williams regressing a little bit. It was a really, really rough
group. Yeah, even if not, he's still in for 40% of the snaps or whatever Kyle plays, maybe 50. I'd have to look up the snap numbers.
Yeah.
But they did rotate that group in a lot. And even if Kyle's their best player, he's only playing 50% of one position group. So that's, you know, 75% of the time you have someone else in the game at one or both of the positions.
Yeah, a group that had to sign Ricky Hatley off of the, like, never played in the league before list to go play, you know, that Miami and Jacksonville game. Actually played during those games. Like, so it's, you know, that's how bad that group was. And there's, like, no better you know, nothing better for a middle linebacker in a 4-3 than having defensive tackles who can do anything to just get guys off them.
Yeah, and Kyle Williams ranked 51. He played 45 snaps a game about, so that's probably a little over half.
It's a little over half.
Yeah, so he was in 801 snaps, 300 run defense snaps, and 496 pass rush snaps. So that's
right.
So was removed in rush situations a little bit, or in run stop situations a tiny bit. But I mean, for defensive tackles, actually, Kyle Williams played the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the top 15 in defensive tackle play. So he played a fairly good.
Yeah, no, it's just that other position, you know, Washington hasn't gotten it yet.
Yeah.
Thornton was really bad.
So Preston Brown didn't benefit. And in another word, in a long story short, you know, he didn't benefit at all from some of the play in front of him and around him at all. And I think Preston Brown not being the number one guy on your defense, you know, him being a guy that's good and is in the defense, he's solid, he's healthy, he's younger, all things that, you know, they're looking for in this defense, has ran this defense with Leslie Frazier. I don't think they're willing to turn over the guy that's calling the plays, getting, you know, playing every snap. I think they're going to try really hard to bring him back. If he thinks he's going to get 5 or 6, I don't think it's going to happen. If he thinks he's going to get 4, I think that you see him signed. So,
yeah, 4 might be tough. I mean, you know, scouts do their job, but leading tackler in the league is generally going to maybe bump you up a little bit. I don't know. He's had more decent seasons than bad seasons. But just overall, I think he's a guy in-house. He's a guy who knows the defense, and he wants to be here. Like, that's a guy that you want to keep. If the guy wants to be here and he's not an albatross, like, I think that we can make that happen. And I think
maybe Ricky Hatley wants to be here too, right?
Well, I don't know anything about Ricky Hatley besides that he played.
It's a good point. I mean, a guy that wants to play here, there's nothing worse than a guy that says, I'm pretty solid of a football player. I wanted to play there and you guys just didn't give me a contract. Like, that's just some of the worst stories in Buffalo when you hear those type of stories. Like,
all the time.
I
would love for us to just re-sign a third round pick. Like,
yeah, we
do that once.
Yeah. I can. If they re-sign him, you can finally say, you know, they in theory they hit on Preston Brown with a second contract. I mean, he's been a pretty solid player for him. Has had his ups and downs for sure. There's times when I'm frustrated with him, but between him and a really young and solid Matt Milano, finished 41st by PFF, and really, really needing to just address the third linebacker spot and defensive tackle, I think that the defense, you know, do the cornerback moves we were talking about earlier in the show. And I think that defense is getting back into that range of being top 10.
Yeah, no, I definitely think so. And I just think in terms of Preston Brown, I don't understand why you would create more holes.
Like, I just think
if it's there,
you're not going to create more holes, right?
You got to sign people eventually, tough. Right? Like, you have to resign guys eventually. You can't just go with
you're trading them all.
Nine new guys on your defense every year. I don't care who you are. That's not, you can't do that.
No, I think they turned over last year. Anyone that made it through the purge, you know, they really kept like 20 players total in one season, which is crazy.
I think there's still a couple guys on the offense still a couple that are going to face it.
But I think for the most part, especially with defense, you know, anyone who's made it, which isn't very many.
No.
And it could be even less if Kyle doesn't come back.
I
think that they're safe to stay. And I do believe that Preston Brown, he's personally said that they're, you know, the Bills agents, they've been talking, and I think something gets done there. And, you know, it's one less need that the Bills need to address for the draft and other purposes. So really like his ability to stay and know the defense and just keep getting better and keep running the way it needs to run. So I think having him anchor this defense, you know, is a good idea. It wasn't necessarily my number one idea, but not needing another hole to me and giving him fair money is, I think, at the top of my list.
Yeah, no, I definitely think, and I'm glad that, you know, I saw that yesterday where there really was momentum. And it's just good to see a guy want to stay, want to be a part of this, to see what's going on right now. And that really, because it's pretty surprising, because that's not a good negotiation tactic.
No, it's not. That loses you. But he might be willing to succeed anyways.
Yeah, I mean, he could always just leave doing that too. But I don't think that, you know, most agents are usually happy when a guy says, oh, I'm really glad to stay and I'll do whatever it takes to stay. So
yeah, it seems like he might have seized and just kind of surrendered. I think that he might just take whatever deal if it's decent. I do think that that's possible. He likes being here. know, and when you like being here, you might take one less round of negotiations, in my opinion. I don't think you try to take much less money. I think it comes down to like how willing you're fighting for negotiations. And you know, that's what I think you'll see. So the last point is that I don't know how you can't trust this front office after what they were able to do at the whole defensive back position group. They were able to move Sammy Watkins and get a good cornerback out of it and a draft pick. They were able to move Ron Darby, who was a solid player in his own right, and got a player and a draft pick. They were able to move for a third round pick for a number one receiver that hopefully plays like it this year. And you know, revamp the safety group, hit on, if Zay Jones works out, hit on almost all their picks, including Milano, Deion Dawkins, who's one of the top offensive linemen. Obviously Trey White, who was runner up for defensive player of the year, a rookie defensive player of the year. So like, how do you not put trust into a front office that made the playoffs, moving like 30 to 40 rostered players out of the 52 man roster and having a draft and free agency like that they did without spending huge money?
Yeah, I think it's, you definitely, I mean, look, they were the ones that made the playoffs. So that's where you're starting from right from the jump. But,
and it's a solid first move with the Tyrod news. And
there's a lot of things that you can say did really well. You can maybe nitpick on a few things. I still think we shouldn't have traded Reggie Ragland. I still think Marcell Dareus was, but you know, this is what you do when you're, you know, a Patriots fan or something, not to compare us with them, but like they make some terrible draft picks. They make some, you know, decisions on guys.
And at least Dareus is $100 million, right?
Right. We got out of that, but it's like,
but Ragland hurts.
Ragland hurts, but you know, when everything's moving in the right direction, sometimes, you know, a couple waves, you know, pushing you in the opposite direction don't hurt, you know.
It's at the same time, it just hurts because he's good or good, pretty good. It doesn't hurt because you want him to, in my opinion. I don't think he fit this defense at all.
No, that's definitely why they traded him. It seems like they had made it
good, then people will trade with him. I've always said, you know, I don't want to trade a rock star, and I don't think he's a rock star. He's a good, solid football player, in like Preston Brown level. But it makes teams want to trade with you. Like, we're not getting, you know, raked over the coals. You know, they're going to be willing to trade us a player. So let's try to get out in front of the Bills. And I think that gives you trade partners, right? Especially with this growing bean network across the NFL, with our GMs leaving and guys that he's worked with. And, you know, you have the Giants, you have Carolina still. I mean, you have a couple of, you know, obviously Houston now, and you almost got another guy in Carolina in Lake Dawson, the Bills scouting director, almost won they decided to keep their title? Was he just an interim GM? Is that even a thing?
Yeah, I don't remember what
it was. So they capped him, Ernie, and Lake Dawson. So the Bills are almost put two people in GM roles.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
That's like Patriots stuff there in that regard. I mean, to put two people in GM roles is really impressive. And Lake Dawson still probably at the top of the list for the next job that might open up. And, you know, you have, like we've mentioned earlier, you have Shane still on the roster that's probably grooming to be a general manager. So what a good front office. All you can say is trust, you know, trust the team, trust the process, trust what they're doing. Cause it's sometimes, you know, trading Ragland for a fourth kind of stunk, but other moves have been excellent. You know, they're right there. They have plenty of draft picks. They've hit on their draft picks, which is something that, as much as I love Doug Whaley and still one of his biggest fans, wasn't able to really do a fully. So
yeah.
Check out the other editions, you know, Locked On, you know, our draft show right now is roaring with information, you know, one of ways to check out some more of this draft process, and, you know, check out our other Locked On editions for, if you want to see what, you know, maybe Minnesota's going to do at quarterback, or you're interested in some, you know, something else, go check out the other Locked On editions, you know, search for their Locked On, you know, whatever Locked On team handle, and you can find out some great information. But, you know, thanks for tuning in today at this special edition breaking news. You know, ran a little long because we were doing, you know, a pretty loaded here Thursday show, and we'll get on it tomorrow with a position group that's yet to be named. So, you know, we'll
can't
talk,
wait.
We can't wait, and we will, you know, we will talk to you guys shortly.
Thanks, guys.
I've been around for a long, long year, stole many a man's soul of faith. I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his face.